every day, Mass is celebrated at St. Dominic's Chapel at the Chancery Offices of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. The following is a recording of today's readings and homily from a previous year.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered that all the Jews to leave Rome. He went to visit them, and because he practiced the same trade, stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. Every Sabbath, he entered into discussions in the synagogue, attempting to convince both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began to occupy himself totally with preaching the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. When they opposed him and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your heads. I am clear of responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." So he left there and went to a house belonging to a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the synagogue official, came to believe in the Lord along with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians who heard believed and were baptized. The word of the Lord. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations, he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song, sing praise.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
Alleluia.
I will not leave you orphans, says the Lord. I will come back to you, and your hearts will rejoice.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while later and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What does this mean that he is saying to us, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? And because I am going to the Father." So they said, "What is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he means." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Are you discussing with one another what I said? 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
First, it's good to have Father Kevin Peek here with us today, priest of our archdiocese. And if you don't know him, we welcome him back. And his brother also was a priest for the Archdiocese of Atlanta, but is deceased. So we are grateful to the Peek family for giving us two priests. Today, in some of the dioceses, not many, New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Lincoln, Nebraska, and maybe Hartford, I think is the other one. Today's the 40 days after Easter, the Feast of the Ascension. For the rest of the dioceses in the United States, this feast was moved to Sunday. So we'll have Ascension on Sunday. But the readings for today, if you were in that those dioceses, would be the readings for the Ascension. When we think about Jesus being with us for a little while, and then we'll see him in a little while, we'll not see him, the early Christians were wondering, what does this mean? Of course, the idea of the resurrection, or the passion, he's gone and then comes back, and the resurrection, they see him again. When we think about the Ascension, it's like, I've got to go to the Father. And sometimes we think of Jesus ascending into heaven, the doors are shut, we never see him again. Yet he promised that he'd be with us to the end of the age. So this idea of people thinking that Christ was a figure of the past, but he's not like Emmanuel with us, I think is a problem in our society. Like, Jesus is a historical figure that gave a good message, but he's not involved with our lives. He's removed from our contact, and he's simply reduced to a former teacher that we might have had in the past, but he's not guiding our steps today. In a way, he's not in the grave, but he's kind of locked into heaven, and so forth. There's a question in the before he ascended. One of the apostles asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Which is an interesting question, because before he ascends, he gets this question. He says, "It is not for you to know the times and the seasons, but my heavenly Father." But what's in that question? Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Does that mean that, like, Lord, you know, when you ascend, or if you ascend into heaven, is everything on earth going to be perfect? The kingdom comes back to Israel, the Romans are gone, the Jews are welcoming Christians, everybody's converting and all that stuff. Is that going to happen? And, of course, sometimes people might think of Jesus ascending into heaven that he stops working miracles. But I think that's worth for us to kind of wonder what the ascension will mean for us if he ascends into heaven. There's a kind of a double meaning, I think, to the ascension. One is that he's confirming us that we have a mission here on earth, that he's not going to do everything for us. And the mystery of the cross is not going to be emptied of its meaning. It has to continue in our lives. We must live out the passion of Christ. He's not the miracle worker that's going to be in heaven waving the magic wand and saying everything is going to be perfect. The kingdom is going to be restored and so forth. But the other thing that's important is that he promised to send us the Holy Spirit, that he doesn't want to simply do things for us, but he wants his Spirit, or the Spirit of the Father and the Son, to be in us so we can live like him, in union with him. And so I think this idea of the Holy Spirit coming, which we're preparing for Pentecost to celebrate, is a powerful thing for us to reflect upon. Because Christ wants us to be a church. And without the Holy Spirit, we become individuals. We become like members, but not a body. And I think that's the point I like to make today, is that I can't say to you that I don't need you. We can't say to one another, like the arm, I don't have no need of you. You know, St. Paul probably says it best when he talks about the image of the church as the body. We are the body of Christ. You know, this Holy Spirit's like the soul to the body. But I can't say to any of you that you're not important, or that we're not brothers and sisters in Christ, or that we can live as individuals and not in community. One of the things that happened with the pandemic, it challenged us, our sense of communion as a church. We became kind of more, I think, individuals, or challenged to stay at home and kind of become what participating as an individual. We didn't get a chance to be together as a people. And actually, the power that the church has to evangelize is to show that when we're together and we love each other and we live for each other and we die for each other and we share everything we have for each other as the body would do, we're all about one thing together, then the world sees that I want to be part of that communion because I see the members, how they love each other. I see that they're living for each other, that if one member suffers, they're all suffering. If one member is honored, they're all being honored. And this notion of the church that we believe in is kind of jeopardized, I think, if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to come, or at least Christ ascended to pour his Spirit into the church, his believers, so they can live and become the body of Christ on earth. You know, this is what we believe when we say we believe in one church. Christ founded a church, not necessarily a religion of individuals. It's very important to make that distinction, that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic founded on the apostles. We must learn how to live now under the influence of the Holy Spirit, which leads to communion. So as a bishop, one thing I have to judge is whether if the Spirit is working to in another person, if the Spirit is working to another person, is it leading to that communion in the body of Christ? Or is it making us scattered, be separate, you know, individuals and so forth? We have a problem today with individualism, which says that the individual is important, let him do whatever he wants, not for the sake of other people, but let him have his rights to do whatever he wants, become whatever he wants. That's an individual approach. It's not to say, what should I do for the other person? We have a hedonism, which says that we should do what is most pleasurable rather than sacrifice or love for the sake of others. And we have consumerism. We tend to want to put the world, cram the world into our mouths. And we're never satisfied if we do that. Rather, instead of consuming, we learned how to share what we have with others. So when Christ ascended into heaven, he wants us to continue this mission of showing that unity which is in his body, and that unity which is in the Father, the Son, and through the Holy Spirit. So as we prepare for Pentecost, let us pray that we may not succumb to the temptation to be individuals, but to become the church, the body of Christ, brothers and sisters loving each other, living for each other, sacrificing for each other, sharing with each other. Your gifts I need, and the gifts that God has given me, you need as well.